Gonna talk about this week in wrestling, cause it was terrible unless it was great. This is Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, it's TLP.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, the only podcast that is brought to you with unity! This is episode 133. I am your host, as always, Poit, and joining me on the panel to discuss the week in WWE, we have Wehrman.
I almost had my face burned off at work today. That was a thing that happened. Twice in 2 days, as a matter of fact.
You may need some more stringent workplace safety measures.
Possibly.
So that's two opportunities you've passed up to become some kind of Two-Face-like villain. Seems like a waste.
Yeah. One of these days.
And Jabba.
Now, you do realize, Mr. Poits, that when you said, Unity, your microphone actually struggled to readjust your volume after that. That was quite an amusing moment.
Excellent. Excellent.
I think it's time for some news.
I do
believe
so.
All right. We have a little bit of news. Well, let's start with the big story, I guess. I guess it could be a big story. Raw once again posted record low ratings this Monday, doing only a paltry 2.15 on average for the night. This is the lowest rating an episode of Raw has gotten since February of 1997.
I heard this was the second lowest.
No, this actually, I saw this was like, this broke the record again. Like, they keep doing this. And to put this into perspective, 2.1 was the average rating of Monday Nitro during WCW's final months of existence.
Yes, and of course that is while competing with a second mainstream wrestling show on another channel at the same time.
So if this trend keeps up, if the bottom has just dropped out and the ratings just continue to freefall, WWE will, like, retroactively lose the Monday Night War. Mundo.
And how many million viewers does that translate to?
It's less than 3. So they are now bringing in fewer viewers than, like, the very highest audience that TNA ever got.
Yeah, because I remember TNA, at one point, they did get 3 million viewers. So if they drop below that... At that period when TNA were getting those numbers, did anyone actually think, hey, TNA are a big deal on TV?
I don't think
they really did. So if WWE are doing numbers that are steadily dropping below that even,
yeah,
then what does that say about them?
I'm going to check and see what the viewer numbers of like New Japan are, because I know wrestling is still way bigger in Japan than it is in America. If they're doing more than that, then... That could be interesting.
As far as American wrestling goes, I think since WWE pretty much are American wrestling, as they fall, I don't think any other company is going to go up. I think they're just going to fall with it because the overall wrestling audience is going down.
Yeah.
So you'd imagine TNA and Ring of Honor are just going to keep sliding on down as well.
That's true. I mean, you've heard, TNA can't hold on to a TV deal to save their lives at this point. Ring of Honor's been struggling to grow any kind of audience. GFW, which sounded awesome when it first was announced, has just turned out to be a fly-by-night indie fed. I mean, there's really not much else out there.
It's a sad state of affairs. We could be entering the lowest point in the history of wrestling.
We could be watching the end, at least in America. I mean,
I don't remember I'd go that far, but it could still be a really low point.
I mean, financially,
I'm sure they've been way lower than this, but in terms of actual people watching it, it hasn't been much worse.
Yeah, I mean, you always heard, like, when the ratings first started to dip, like, back during Triple H's Reign of Terror, people kept going, well, wrestling is cyclical, you see. There's a boom period, and then there's a bust period. It's like, okay, just because there were two boom periods does not mean there's always going to be one.
I mean, there could be, but you have to create that boom period. You can't just wait for it to happen organically.
Yeah, they have actively gone out of their way to prevent it from happening. They have they have kept new stars from getting over. They have stagnated storylines, keeping them on, you know, in first gear for months on end. You know, there are so many problems that I honestly feel that, like, the promotion just needs to be gutted.
Will they have to do something if they reach diesel numbers? Surely them or the TV network would have to step in and say, look, guys, we need to turn this around because this isn't good enough. This is a huge chunk of time that isn't bringing us in enough money, surely. If not enough people watching it, the advertising revenue is going to drop. You would imagine.
I hope so. I mean, I don't want WWE to go away. I don't think anybody wants that.
I think by next week we need to look into how far off diesel numbers they actually are.
I will look into that. I will run some numbers and see. Because I know that Nielsen, the guys who do the TV ratings, changed their equations between then and now. So numbers from back in the Attitude Era aren't exactly the same as numbers now. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how they are, but I can look into it.
Homework assignment. So what else have we got on the news pie?
Well, let's see. Some good news. Lucha Underground has officially announced the premiere of their second season will be January 27th. And rumors are still circulating that they are very close to officially signing Rey Mysterio. So if you haven't watched Lucha Underground yet, now is as good a time as any to catch up. Some other good news. As reported last week, Sami Zayn is scheduled to join the NXT UK tour this month, and we can now confirm that he will be competing in the ring. His return match will be a non-title exhibition in Newcastle against Finn Balor, and he will face Balor again in a triple threat match with Baron Corbin on Saturday in Sheffield. So, awesome!
Yeah, is he going to be appearing in any televised matches, or are they saving that until he's back in the States?
I'm not entirely sure. I have to imagine he'll show up at least at the TakeOver special.
You would think.
He's too big a deal not to.
He is advertised as appearing on the show, but there are no reports one way or another about whether or not he will be wrestling on the show.
It seems like most likely we would get either a run-in or just an appearance with a promo.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be either A, he'll cut a promo, and then like somebody will run out and interrupt him setting up his next feud, or he'll do a run-in and like save Finn Balor from Samoa Joe or something.
Time will tell, but we can look forward to it.
Yes, I am very much looking forward to it. Speaking of things to, I guess, look forward to, those of you who wish to avoid TLC spoilers may want to cover your ears for the next 20 seconds or so. So, despite every time...
I'm going to mute my speakers.
Okay. I will make a little hand gesture when it's okay to unmute. Okay, so, despite every title being on the line at TLC, fans at the tapings for the Tribute to the Troops noted that Charlotte, Kevin Owens, Alberto Del Rio, and Sheamus all still held their respective titles for the event. As always, the tribute show will air on the week of Christmas, long after TLC. So this fact is either a pretty heavy spoiler or a pretty major continuity snag.
I would imagine that isn't too much of a spoiler. Because when they broadcast those things, don't they actually let you know that it's out of sequence?
Not always.
You would imagine that at least one title would change hands by then.
You'd think, but, I mean, TLC is such a throwaway show that...
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that no titles are changing hands at TLC anyway.
Yeah.
But you never know. I don't think we can read too much into that. We shall see.
We shall see indeed. Okay. Next little bit of information. Jim Ross's Twitter account was hacked this past week as an unknown prankster posted a false tweet claiming that Ross had passed away. Thankfully, this is not the case. So, despite what you may have heard, Jim Ross is not dead.
Yeah, there is quite a fascination with people and these celebrity death hoaxes online.
Yeah, I've seen, like, apparently people have faked Hulk Hogan's death, like, 5 or 6 times at this point.
I mean, you would think at some point he'll have to fake his own death. I'm sure there's some kind of financial gain that could be reaped from that.
Anything to get back in good standing with WWE. I mean, it did wonders for Warrior.
It certainly did.
Yep. All right. Well, since Daniel Bryan is still being withheld from active competition in WWE, he has apparently taken a training for MMA. While it's likely that Bryan is simply doing this as a way to stay active while WWE keeps him on the shelf, according to all reports, he's got a knack for it and has quickly moved up to a blue belt in jiu-jitsu.
Well, I remember hearing back in the day Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and Samoa Joe would all do kind of MMA training on the side. So it's not that surprising that he's doing a bit more of that, even if it's just to keep himself in good shape, trying to get some new skills while they're not using him on TV. Couldn't hurt.
And I mean, hey, you know, everyone's been asking, you know, who's CM Punk's first opponent going to be in UFC? I mean,
on the one hand, that would be pretty amazing if it actually happened. On the other hand, one of them would have to lose, so it might not be the best from a business standpoint.
Yeah. And last little bit of news, Sting is reported to be going undergoing neck surgery to repair the injury he sustained at Night of Champions, which has now been diagnosed as cervical spinal stenosis. So Sting will definitely be out of action for the foreseeable future. They haven't said if he's going to require a spinal fusion, but if he does, that's basically it.
Yeah, does Sting have the foreseeable future to actually get healthy? Probably not.
Probably not. I mean, Sting's like 56.
That is kind of ancient in wrestler years.
Yeah, I mean, even Undertaker's only 50.
I mean, if you think about, I mean, how old's Ric Flair now? 60-something.
Yeah, but he doesn't wrestle anymore.
Yeah, and if you think how bad Ric Flair was for certain parts of his career after he was past his prime.
Honestly, if they're going to use Sting at all at this point, I really hope it's in a non-wrestling capacity. I don't want to see him get hurt. And frankly, I don't want to see him in more bad matches. I mean,
we know he can talk.
Yeah.
And he can do different things. I mean, when he was in TNA, he was given a lot of different crazy stuff to do. And
as long as they don't do the Joker gimmick again, that was horrible.
He was obviously having fun with it, though.
Yeah.
So I think they can find something for him to do on TV if they really want to.
Yeah. I think they should do like the he should be like the good Triple H and be like the good authority figure.
General Manager of SmackDown.
Holla holla.
At the very least, you'd expect to see him pop up on like the Stone Cold podcast and on some of those bits they do on the network. The specials.
I did watch the table for three that he did with DDP and Vader, and it was great.
I haven't seen that.
It was great. There was my favorite part of the whole thing was them just like completely making fun of WWE's whole revisionist history that Shawn Michaels was the best ever.
Controversial.
I've said my piece on the podcast before, but I don't like Shawn Michaels.
All right. I do have one small bit of news.
Okay.
It was reported on Twitter by Kofi Kingston that the brand new New Day unicorn horns sold out online in under 5 hours.
That is awesome.
How many of them went to TLP, though? At least one. Look at that. Does it light up?
It does.
There it is. That is beautiful.
Will you be wearing that for the duration of the podcast?
What's that?
Will you be wearing it all the way through the podcast?
Should I?
Well, let's ask the audience. There's at least one person watching right now.
All right.
So let's see what they think. If people want to see Poit as a unicorn forever, I think we can make it happen now. Who would have thought? I do have a small news nugget as well, if you will, lodged in the middle of the news pie. I don't know how recent it is, but I did see an interview with CM Punk, and he was talking about what wrestling he actually watches nowadays, because as you know, it's not a lot. He's not really a fan of the product, but apparently he does watch every New Day segment because of his friendship with Kofi. And he's a big fan of Kofi and Big E, and he doesn't really know Woods that well. So he's a big fan of the New Day, apparently, and that's all he watches now.
Did Punk and Kofi, like, did they start in a WWE's like ECW together?
I think they did.
That would make sense. And I think they traveled together at some point. So that would bring our news coverage to a close, I believe. So shall we move on to our talking?
Oh, he and Kofi were tag team champions together.
Well, that would do it.
I completely forgot that was a thing. So, speaking of things, so Raw, huge main event, a 16-man tag match, featuring the world champion being pinned cleanly in the middle of the ring by the number one contender. You would think that's the kind of match you would close the show with. Yes?
Mm-hmm. You'd
think. How about opening the show?
That's still pretty awesome.
Well, it depends where you go from there. If you haven't got anything planned to top that, is it really that awesome to open the show that way?
No, I mean, it's definitely it's a way to hook people into the show, but you need something to for it to lead into.
This felt so backwards. Like, we're starting...
Because it started the show, or because it was it's a month late?
Well, okay, first of all, yes, we're building for Survivor Series after Survivor Series again. Like, is this just going to be some thing now? Like, Survivor Series happens, and then we start putting teams together? Yeah, this is the second goddamn year in a row.
Immediately after it, and then immediately before Survivor Series, they started breaking up some of the Divas stables.
Yeah, what the hell?
I'm going to laugh if, like, the couple weeks after the Royal Rumble, we get, like, two or three Battle Royals.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
They'll have one before.
Okay, so we open the show with all of the big names they have left. And I'm using big names very charitably.
Braun Strowman. He's quite
good. Yes. Can't forget Beef Stroganoff. We have this big cluster schmaz match where, again, like you said, the world champion gets pinned cleanly, which I don't fucking get this. Why they need to build every title feud with the challenger beating the champion over and over and over and over. Okay, but they use that to build up a squash match that happens later in the night and a talkie segment where the champion gets his ass kicked again with the good, you know, the conquering hero spouting horrible racial slurs at him.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. But I think the show, you have to have some kind of logical build-up, and you have to climax in the right place, and I think this show just got it all horribly wrong. Within the first 25 minutes, you'd hit the high point, and then it was all steadily downhill, and then a rather rapid decline in the third hour.
Yeah, it's never good when you climax at the wrong point.
Are they just completely giving up on people watching the third hour, do you think?
I have to imagine so. One of the things I had looked for in the news segments, there were fans at this Monday's Raw who took pictures of huge segments of the crowd like getting up and walking out before the main event.
Well, when you saw what it was, it's not that exciting.
The main event was Sheamus and Reigns talking and then brawling.
Yeah. Why would anyone stick around for that? Especially when you showed at the beginning of the show that Roman Reigns is going to beat the shit out of Sheamus anytime they get together.
If all those 16 men just got into a huge brawl right at the start of the show, and then they would had a huge pull apart, you know, millions of security guards, like police stepping in to break them all up, and they said, well, for our main event tonight, we've got this huge 16-man tag match. You would have to tune in for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And, okay, right at the beginning, when the League of Nations comes out, and it's not Roman and everyone else interrupting, it's the Wyatt family who interrupts them first, how... Like, you heard, like, the kind of pop they got. How awesome, at this point, would the Wyatt family work as a face stable? You know, I mean,
People have talked about how they've been set up to become a face stable in the future because there's, like, the crowd interaction with, you know, the Fireflies. People bring
up
themselves.
There's that. There's all of Bray Wyatt's old rhetoric about, you know, we'll tear the walls off this place. We'll bring down the machine. All that stuff that he used to go on about that he just kind of stopped, you could bring that back in and have him be this, like, kind of like how the Ministry of Darkness was to the corporation. They're still, you know, bad guys, but they are not the worst guys.
I mean, when it was the Shield versus the Wyatts, both of those teams were heels at one point, but getting face reactions just because they were so awesome at the time.
Yeah, and honestly, there's nothing else for the Wyatt family to do as heels except keep fucking losing.
Yeah, who else could they lose to, do you think?
Who else is left? They lost to John Cena. They got the shit kicked out of them by Undertaker. They
Have
got
they
the
lost
shit kicked
the New
out of
Day?
Them. Not yet, but they will.
I mean, Randy Orton's out for a while, so there's another worst-case scenario that we can't possibly get.
By the way, speaking of people losing, did either of you watch SmackDown this past week?
No.
I'm not going to lie, no.
Okay, so the main event of SmackDown this week had Roman Reigns defeating the League of Nations in a 4-on-1 handicap match.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, the League of Nations...
Notice that was, like, not mentioned on Raw.
Yeah, the League of Nations is the WWE World Champion, the United States Champion, the King of the Ring, and a guy who routinely choked out John Cena.
Yeah, he's only really lost to John Cena in any kind of memorable way.
And fucking Roman just plows through him because he's the scrappy underdog here. Like,
yes. Now,
why are we supposed to root for this?
Was Wade Barrett got ejected from the match because the referee thought he was being a dick, and then Reigns won the match and counted out.
That's stupid.
So, shall we move on?
I guess.
Because we do have something positive. Because that 16-man tag match, the way it was put together with the four teams and one man from each team in the ring at the same time, that's the kind of thing we're always asking them to do whenever they have these huge multi-man matches. And they always mess it up by having just two guys in the ring at a time tagging in different teams and nonsense like that. But this is actually how it should work. Why have they never done this before?
Well, it's like in every triple threat and every fatal four-way match where it breaks down into here's two guys in the ring and the other guys are taking like a 5-minute smoke break on the outside.
But
when they're all in the ring all at once, it's actually very entertaining.
Yeah, once I saw this, I was expecting, what, are they going to give us a cage match in the main event and the door's actually going to be locked for a change?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they know how to do these things all of a sudden, but they just choose not to most of the time. So, we've talked about the opening of the show and how potentially epic that could have been and how pretty good it actually was. How about the ending of the show? Because they have done something like this before. When they're promoting an upcoming TLC match, of course, the one thing that's going to make you possibly pay money to see a TLC match is to give you every exciting element of a TLC match on free TV the week before.
Yep.
That makes sense, right?
Totes.
Yeah. And make it a complete squash, too, just to keep it nice and hard to predict.
Yeah, that was just really, really bad. And they did it with Cena and Orton, didn't they, when they were going to have their TLC match?
They've done it every time there's a TLC match. They did it with that. They did it with Ambrose and Wyatt. Every time there's a TLC match, they have a segment where they start fighting, and then one of them starts hitting them with a table, or with a chair, and then the other one brings out a table, and then somebody brings out a ladder. Every goddamn time.
And what made it worse was that unbearable 20-minute back-and-forth promo.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
That made me pine for Mark Henry wanting to fuck a hamburger. That made me beg for The Miz trying to impress Adrian Neville with some guy I've never heard of. Again, we're just throwing out Irish stereotypes because, oh, Irish people love potatoes. And we also like, I don't know, drinking and Catholic terrorism.
Did anyone notice Roman Reigns' laugh after he gave one of his lines? It was something like this. It looks like you're just smuggling some tater tots.
That was such...
It was really awful.
It was such really bad. A Vince McMahon line. You know he was fed that line backstage and was like, you have to hit that line, like, you have to hit that line as much as you can. Really drive it home. Get the crowd to chant tater tots. Hashtag tater tots. And nobody, obviously nobody bought into it. A, because it was fucking lame. B, because it was fucking racist.
Yeah, a few people started chanting it, but nowhere near on the level of, just as an example off the top of my head, when The Rock wasn't even trying to get them to chant screw the coach. He was trying to get them to chant popcorn fart, if I recall, at the coach. But they started chanting just screw the coach for the entire show, and that went on for weeks. But Roman Reigns, he's not charismatic enough even to get a chant going.
No, and again, I like Roman Reigns. I actually do. They're using him absolutely horribly because they think they can make him The Rock. They want him to be this charismatic, sassy babyface, and he's fucking not at all. Like, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The only way to really use Roman Reigns properly is to give him the Goldberg treatment, which is have him show up, look really cool, do a spear, wreck people's shit, shut the fuck up, and leave.
Yeah, is it that hard to, even if you're going to make him speak, just let him come out and say, I don't like you, Superman punch. The crowd would go nuts for that kind of thing.
That's all he has to be. That's all he ever needed to be. But they want him to be this, like, sassy Hollywood movie star guy, and it will never work.
I mean, even when people hated The Rock, he still had charisma. He could still talk. You could see there was something in him. Like, the wheels were going around in his head. He was coming up with stuff, and it was coming out of his mouth successfully. He wasn't just regurgitating these awful lines. If you're going to let him talk, you have to let him be more of himself so it's natural to him. If he's just memorizing lines, he's focusing so much on that that the delivery is really off.
Yeah. I don't see how they completely failed to learn their lesson earlier this year. I mean, how many times do you have a, you know, your main event babyface cut promos that are drowned out by boring chants?
It's like
before you stop doing it.
They took Roman Reigns out of the firing line because it wasn't doing so well with the audience, and now they think, well, he's been cooling off long enough, and we've had so many injuries. Surely the fans will just accept him if we just start nudging him back. But they're nudging way too hard at the moment.
It's not so much a nudge as it is just a full-on shove.
Yeah, more than a push. It's a shove. So, shall we move on? Let's see if we've got something less depressing. No, we haven't. So, other pay-per-view matches that they're just giving out for free. Of course, Rusev versus Ryback. We've had bits of that the last couple of weeks.
But really, who cares about that match?
Yeah, nobody does. It's just... Rusev's okay, but I'm not too compelled to be excited in that match, and I'm not sure what they're doing with Lana exactly.
You remember when Rusev was considered a credible threat to John Cena? You remember when Ryback was one of the most popular people on the entire show? What the fuck happened?
Creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most misleading term in wrestling, sadly. So I don't think we need to say too much on that. And a couple of guys who are obviously excellent, we're big fans of Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens, but it seems like they were only sent out there on Raw to have a good match, to kill time, which is basically the curse of Ziggler. They don't really have anything, any interest in doing anything with them, so hey, you guys can have a good match, go and fill 25 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, the guy who got Roman Reigns over again, just, you know, go out and, we're not going to do anything with you. It's so frustrating, like, how they intentionally take focus away from the people who make their show exciting and worth watching.
And I would say it's a little bit reckless, having guys like that telling them go out there and put on a good match.
Mm-hmm.
But it has no consequences. So they're in there doing all their bumps and all their spots. So they're putting their bodies on the line for no payoff whatsoever.
Yeah, it's they're risking getting seriously hurt for nothing.
I mean, that was presumably that's a much better match than you'd expect to see at a house show.
Sure, but I mean,
with an equal payoff though.
Yeah,
because that's going to mean nothing after the show ended. Next week they're probably not going to talk about it again.
After the segment ended. It was just there to eat up time. This is a huge problem. I mean, why do you think so many of the wrestlers are getting hurt? Like, they have this 3-hour chunk of time that they're told we have to go fill up every single week. Just go out there, kill some time, and because the fans expect a higher caliber match than basically any other point in wrestling history, they have to push themselves way harder. They have to put themselves at a much higher risk. And that's why people keep getting hurt. That's why Orton's out. That's why Daniel Bryan's out. That's why Cesaro's out.
If Owens and Ambrose were actually really feuding rather than just having matches, then those two guys are good enough on the mic and the crowd are invested enough in them that you could just give them a promo segment or some funny backstage skits to do.
Give them a story. Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose would make an awesome feud if you make it an actual feud and not just have some matches against each other.
It's like they don't write for anything below that main event, and that's been a problem for a really long time.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Now, this is kind of funny. Del Rio.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We weren't too thrilled with the whole Mex America thing, but I think we would have ditched it in a slightly more well-thought-out manner.
You mean something more profound than tripping over a scooter?
Yes, people laughed at me because I tripped over your scooter. Therefore, I don't want you near me ever again.
I would have just had Del Rio, like, get bonked on the head and go like, wait a minute, now I remember, you're that horrible old bigot who tried to get me, you know, who tried to cost me the world title because I was Mexican. What the fuck?
I was half expecting, like, Michael Cole to introduce us to, something on the Tron from TMZ where Zeb Coulter was spotted cheating on Del Rio or something. And that was going to be the reason for it.
A secret meeting with Jack Swagger.
Yeah, as first reported on TMZ.
But I love how breaking away from the horrible old racist man is a heel move in WWE.
That is really strange. And what are they going to do with Swagger now? Is Zeb Coulter going to come out and side with him again?
I guess. I don't fucking know. But yeah, it's just like, how dare you not want to hang around with this hateful old bigot? What's wrong with you?
Whatever plans they had for the entire mid-card, an injury to the world champion just means that none of it was important enough to actually continue with, so they've just dropped all of it and just absorbed everyone into this League of Nations nonsense. So we don't actually have any stories running anymore. Well, here's a positive talking point, and that is
Unity!
And I believe you haven't done that yet, Wehrman, so you have to have a go.
Unity! I can't do it.
Okay.
Unity! There it is.
There we go. So, New Day and Team Bad, they've had a little social media interaction, shall we say, over the last few months, and they've finally mingled on the show. And it was quite entertaining. Now, we may dislike certain members of Team Bad, but I think if they form kind of a super group, we can get behind that, can't we?
Oh, absolutely.
I believe that they were saying Bad Day Rocks.
Which
is just perfect.
Now,
I did love, when the New Day and Team Bad were dancing together with the unicorn horns,
mm-hmm.
fucking Tamina hanging out in the background, like, just like, you, like, she was, like, she was absolutely, like, the fifth wheel. And it was perfect. Like, if they made that a thing where, like, she's not really into it, but, like, well, I mean, everyone else is having fun, so...
You mean like they tried to do with Sheamus, like, an hour and a half before he became world champion?
Yeah. I was kind of looking forward to Sheamus being the Carlton of the New Day, but,
Also, for that dancing segment with the six of them... Big E tweeted out a GIF of it, pointing Jimmy Uso to look at the part of the dancing where Big E and Jimmy's wife Naomi are basically grinding their butts against each other.
Well, he can't compete with that, can he?
Nope.
Big E does have quite a prominent posterior, shall we say. So, and of course, spawning from that were the unicorn headbands. So is this the greatest piece of merchandise they've ever come out with?
The I fact know.
That, the fact that Mr. Point is immediately wearing it days later on the podcast should tell you something.
Well, the reason that I got it so quickly is because I am going to a convention this weekend. I'm heading there tomorrow, and I wanted to have these for the convention.
How many did you get?
I got 3, from me and 2 friends.
So you're going to be walking around like 3 proud unicorns?
Yep.
So you don't
need
to do that anymore.
I said I'm going to put the unicorn up if I'm already wearing one.
You don't need, now you've freed up both your hands for all the other tasks that you might need them for at a convention.
Yes. Let's just leave it there.
Yes. So, back to the subject of the unicorn horns themselves. I'm really hoping that these end up being like right up there with like the old Stone Cold Steve Austin middle finger foam fingers, in terms of just like they're everywhere.
Hopefully, I mean, we were thinking that maybe the sheep mask would catch on like that. But I think
it would have if they didn't treat the Wyatts like fucking garbage.
The unicorn horn has that X factor, and I'm not talking about the stable. There's just something...
You know, you're dealing with the X factor.
Oh, God.
I know you hate it. So, shall we move on?
It lights up and cycles through the rainbow. Come on.
It's pretty glorious. I'll admit, I'm jealous.
Now, speaking of unicorns, the Usos, in what I deem to be a completely unprovoked attack, went after Mr. Woods as he was tromboning at ringside, and just stomped him. Like they were trying to kill him for no good reason. And they're the faces.
Yeah. I mean, that's WWE for you. Like, all your good guys are just total evil bastards.
If someone is wildly annoying, you're just allowed to beat them up. I believe that was the gist of Sheamus's big face run. Anyone who he found to be irritating, who was more intelligent than him, for instance, was just beaten up.
Be a star.
Yeah, they're still pushing that be a star thing, obviously. No, it's a shame we don't have Afterlife here this week, because his dream segment took place on Monday Night Raw, and that was, of course, Ric Flair on Miz TV.
Oh, yeah.
All the elements that would just conspire to create the perfect experience for one Mr. Afterlife and the rest of us, to be fair.
Maybe that's why he's not on the show tonight, because that segment came on and he just went into a coma.
I wouldn't be entirely surprised. I think most of the audience went into a coma during that segment.
Can we just stop doing these Miz TV segments? They never make anyone look good. Especially since they're always tied to the Divas Revolution. And they are, I swear to God, they're designed on purpose to make them look as bad as possible.
Yet Charlotte should be standing on her own. She doesn't need her father there. The Miz needs to be in a storyline and a feud, not just the facilitator of these terrible segments. And Ric Flair, I think, just needs to do something else. Preferably not on TV. Unless that's the only thing that's keeping him. I was going to say sober, but I'm not sure that's entirely successful. If it's the only thing holding him together is making TV appearances, then maybe I can get behind that.
Yeah, can't Ric Flair like get a hobby or something?
Yeah, does he have nothing outside of being on TV? On wrestling shows?
That's a good question. We should start, like, sending Ric Flair different ideas for hobbies. Like, try and get him into, like, crochet or, like, just model trains or something.
Yeah. It's worth a try, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Alright, so step one, obtain Ric Flair's address.
Yes, I'm sure that's not too difficult. Step two, what would be the first hobby thing then? Crochet?
Yeah, sure.
You think he could get into that?
It seems like it wouldn't be too physically taxing.
He can create himself a lovely jacket that he can elbow drop.
Yeah. I would love to see him, like, lovingly crochet one of his sequined robes.
I don't know, it's quite a high-risk activity, though, crochet, I've heard, because I do know someone that's suffering, like, lifelong repetitive strain injury from excess crocheting.
I think Ric Flair is too old to develop lifelong repetitive stress from anything.
Well, I'd say lifelong could be about a week for him at this point.
Oh,
that's harsh.
Dude.
Well,
so,
he's not like Big Show where he could just drop at any minute, but...
Speaking of things that are probably going to be dropped at any minute, Adam Rose.
Oh, God.
It's still incredibly cringeworthy, isn't it?
He is just a prolonged cringe in human form.
And it's obviously not his idea.
Yeah, no. He's he's another person I just feel horrible for. Because he's clearly just going out there and dying every week at the behest of a senile old man.
I saw that the Rosebush was coming on, and I went back to playing video games.
It's like they're intentionally throwing him under the bus because they're making him say all these terrible things, but they're not even giving him like quick cuts. He just has to awkwardly pause between each one of these really cringeworthy headlines. So they're not putting in any effort at all. It's like they want it to fail almost. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going other than off a fucking cliff.
Speaking of things that are probably going off a cliff, how about Stardust? So as mildly entertaining as it sometimes is for Titus O'Neil to break into his little star area, is it actually going anywhere?
No, it's just making Stardust look bad, because...
I don't know, like, is Darren Young injured?
I don't think so.
Because I could see this making sense if, like, you know, Darren Young was injured and Titus needed, you know, a new tag team partner for a while.
As far as I'm aware, he's not injured. I don't remember hearing anything about that. I think they were just keeping them off TV for a while for some reason.
Yeah, he showed up pretty recently. I want to say he was like a lumberjack or something like that at some point.
Haven't we all been a lumberjack?
Some brief research while you guys continue.
Okay, so Stardust. You would think this gimmick, if they took it a little bit more seriously, if you look at like comic book villains... People like that kind of thing. Superhero movies are all the rage now. So why can't they do something with that?
Because they're fucking incompetent. I mean, there's really no other explanation for it.
I'm not saying he should be winning the world title, but surely you can do something with him and make him a credible threat.
Yeah, I mean, Cody Rhodes is a fantastic wrestler. Stardust is a great gimmick. I mean, first of all, the whole idea that he came up with it to, like, out-freak Goldust. And he's... Every time he goes out there, he sells that gimmick 110%. Like, he never sandbags it. He's always committed to whatever ridiculous bullshit he's doing. Stardust has everything he needs to succeed except creative. Because creative doesn't understand how to use him. They don't know how to use anyone who is a little weird or a little goofy. Everyone who is not that mold of a super serious main event caliber guy is just an automatic jobber forever.
And the sad thing about this, it's a gimmick that's being wasted, because you would think, in their eyes, something like this probably only has a limited shelf life. So while he's actually there on the show, they're doing absolutely nothing with it. So eventually when the character gets old, he'll have accomplished nothing when it had great potential at one point.
Yeah. And they keep teasing we're gonna do Goldust and Stardust. Goldust came back at Survivor Series to go after Stardust, and they haven't interacted with each other since.
Well, I think Goldust has actually had Alberto Del Rio's feet permanently implanted on his chest now. So he's a little bit
awkward. Also, Goldust and Stardust did face each other in a 6-man tag, I believe, the night after Survivor Series. But I think that was the last one.
Right, but again, it was just a filler match. They're not actually continuing their story. They're just having matches.
Mm-hmm. Also, as a quick aside, apparently Darren Young is still actively competing, as he lost to Bo Dallas on this week's episode of Superstars.
Oh, well, there we go.
How the mighty have fallen.
Spoiler alert if you watch Superstars.
Nobody does. So, Neville. Do you see him as a potential TV A-lister? I don't. But apparently that's just used as like a dig at The Miz.
Yeah, I mean, this is really just... they're doing the same thing they did with Damian Sandow. Where, and with Alex Riley, The Miz takes another person under his wing and makes him his, like, underling and abuses him until they get sick of it and turn face. And they become white hot for, like, 2 weeks, and then they're never seen again.
Except with Neville, it doesn't seem so much that he's, like, trying to abuse Neville, like, mistreat him, so much as he's just trying to, like, I recognize, like, your potential and wish to get in on the ground floor.
Yes, he wants to ride his cape tails, as it were.
Mm.
That was quite a cringeworthy segment as well, wasn't it, with that guy that I've certainly never heard of.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be a celebrity.
Who the hell, yeah, who the fuck is Donnie Deutsch? Like...
Well, apparently his show was on immediately after Raw, so that means wow. Everyone tuned out before it came on. That must be like a death slot there, right after Monday Night Raw.
You alongside Chrisley Knows Best?
I have actually seen some advertising for that, and that looks incredibly bad.
Apparently, Donnie Deutsch hosted last decade a show on CNBC.
So that's some real A-list quality stardom that they're bringing in.
I'm sure it got them trending big time.
Oh, yeah.
So, before we move on to our NXT discussion for this week, let's have some crowd chants, lines of commentary, and such. Mr. Poit, do you have any?
I actually have many.
Oh, do you?
Let's see here. During, so... When the 16-man tag team match started, Michael Cole told us the match was made during the commercial break by the... And then he paused for just a moment before saying authority. And a part of me just hoped that he was going to say, instead of the authority, say the Adore Long.
Well, if you need anyone to come back to book a very large match with no storyline consequences, easy guy.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, a 16-man tag team match, player.
I don't know if Teddy Long's heart could take a 16-man tag match.
Well, maybe if it had the world's largest athlete.
That would help matters, definitely.
Mm.
What else you got? All
right, what else I got? Once the Wyatts were eliminated, and the match was down to being a triple threat, JBL said, under triple threat rules, no disqualification, which is only the case for non-elimination matches.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah.
Once again, the people who are supposed to tell you how wrestling works don't know how wrestling works.
They're supposed to be the translator between the viewer and what's going on in the ring. It mm-hmm. seems like all they do is just scramble the signal before it gets to your brain.
Let's see, I know during that backstage segment we just discussed, Neville told Miz, you know, we really have to stop meeting like this. And my thought was, alone in the dressing room?
Yeah, it's like the others are going to start getting suspicious.
Alone in the dressing room, in their underwear for the most part.
Yeah. Let's see, if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, I mocked JBL for his commentary line for Kevin Owens' cannonball in the corner, because he started talking about Autobots and then shifted to bowling. Well, this week he had no pause between those and simply said, the Autobots bowling ball.
Ah, it hurts.
I just don't understand it.
He just fucking says words without knowing what they mean.
I think he has a little bit of knowledge on a really wide variety of topics, which is really dangerous when you're a commentator, because you start referencing things you don't really understand. That seems to be the gist of it.
Let's see. And the final line of commentary that I have for the week is from NXT. Corey Graves said, I guess you could say that whatever's left of Blue Pants will forever be known as Soiled Pants.
Ew.
Excellent. Okay, I've got a few. So here's one from JBL. This is when Sheamus was being set up for the WhatsApp. He came up with the line, uh-oh, this is going to be a big Irish.
Now, I suppose we can take solace in the piece that at least that move happened before the tater tot thing.
Yeah.
Are we going to start with...
He's got mashed tater tots, Maggle.
Actually, I wouldn't mind that. If that becomes like the new yam bag in WWE, that would be okay.
The new yam bag. I feel like that's like a new show on ABC.
Byron Saxton has an interesting observation about Dean Ambrose. Ambrose is a different piece of toast. I'm not sure. That's almost a Tazism, isn't it?
That, yeah, wow. What does that even supposed to mean?
Like, he's not the piece of toast you thought he was. He's a totally different piece. And here's one from JBL that leads to a reference that some of you may appreciate. So, he came out with the line, beating somebody at their own game, talking trash to them, and watching them lay at your feet, that's the greatest thing in life. But I was thinking, whatever happened to crushing your enemies, seeing them driven before you, and hearing the lamentations of their women?
Mm-hmm. I feel like he was trying to make that reference, but couldn't pull it off.
Quite possibly. That seems to be what he does, though. He's almost referencing things.
Like with the Autobots thing.
Maybe he'll get there one day.
An Autobots.
And who was it?
What the f...
I didn't make a note of this, but someone said fly back when Ryback jumped out the ring.
That had to be Gibbles.
I'm not sure. I think it might have been Byron Saxton actually beat him to the punch. I'm sure JBL wouldn't come up with that. He would have just said it's a flying Ryback.
Yeah, air Ryback!
I am going to be very amused if Byron Saxton makes his like commentary gimmick trying to out JBL JBL.
Well, they're already really mean to Byron, aren't they? Telling him to go away. And I think JBL
said... He replaced Michael Cole as the punching bag at that table.
I think JBL actually used the line, we're not friends, Byron.
I've heard them deliberately, like with no, like... no hint of kidding at all. Just like, nobody likes you.
I was going to say that same line.
Yeah. Like, they are so just unbelievably mean to him. Like they were to Matt Stryker when he was around.
I mean, there is humor in kind of picking on one person when you know they're just joking and it's just the running joke. Like, haha, we're picking on this guy, but we don't really mean it. And he knows that. But
no, but what they do is just hateful.
It is a bit too much sometimes. So, moving on from the treatment of the sex man, how about the Jax woman? So, is it fair to say that her finishing move is, in fact, her DNA? I know Wehrman has strong feelings on this.
Not really. I am so over Nia Jax. I don't care.
What do you mean by that, Java?
I mean, is she in the position she's in because of who she's related to?
I mean, probably.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, okay. Nia Jax squashing Blue Pants is like a microcosm of WWE. A quirky gimmick that wasn't supposed to get over, who got way too over by accident, being punished for getting over without their permission, in order to push someone who's related to someone who was famous 20 years ago.
Was The Rock famous in 1995?
No. Okay, 17 years ago, but you get what I mean.
Just gotta fact check you there.
That's what you do best, Poit. Don't ever change. So, we're sick of Nia Jax already, kind of. But, I mean, she's not as offensive as some of the other... I'm not even sure I should use the word diva to describe Eva Marie. But some of the other people, let's say. Because she is a person. She's just not really a wrestler.
Mm.
So how about the fact that James Storm is just kind of chilling out in NXT? He's appearing every now and then, just biding his time, beating people. Do you think they've got something big planned for him soon? They're putting him in our consciousness without actually giving him an angle as such.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like... I feel like they didn't know they were getting him, and so they didn't really have anything for him for this current cycle of storylines, but I think after TakeOver, we'll see him actually getting something to work with.
I'm really fascinated by what they're going to do with these guys that came from TNA, like Samoa Joe as well, who are in their like mid to late 30s, and they don't have a huge amount of time to be chilling in NXT. They really need to get in there and make one big run before they're considered too old.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see how they handle those guys, because they don't acknowledge the existence of TNA, so maybe that'll actually help them.
Yeah.
Because if when the people came from WCW, they love to say, he's an icon in WCW, watch him lose to our top guys. But the fact they don't even talk about TNA, maybe they're kind of giving those guys a clean slate. They're just saying, well, he's built a reputation around the world. We're not going to say where.
Mm-hmm. And they'll use clips from, like, Ring of Honor in Japan when doing promo videos, but not TNA.
I believe that when they were talking about what Lance Storm has been doing since the fall of James Storm has been doing since the fall of WCW, they said that he's been wrestling in the independent circuit.
I cannot wait until they get AJ Styles and they just have to ignore this decade and a half chunk of this man's life.
I think the only two times that TNA has been mentioned, well, actually three times, because there was one web show.
One with Todd Grisham?
Yeah, people kept calling in all the time asking him about TNA, to troll him, which was funny. There was the one time that Caval, they have to do a poem or a rap or something, and he threw out some total non-stop action at the end. Mm-hmm. And then there was that panel for the game that got JR fired, apparently, and Ric Flair was talking about his time in TNA on that.
Yeah. And there was that one time where somebody was like, I can just go wherever I want, brother. Referencing...
Yeah, I think that was Cena, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a really long time ago. So, shall we move on to the Vaud villains? Now, their alignment, they've kind of shifted all over the spectrum since they first teamed up, and usually their theme music changes to coincide with that. So if they could be on the cusp of another turn, does this mean they're going to have to change theme again?
Maybe?
I mean, they could just, go back to their old heel theme.
They could, but isn't that a bit weird? As soon as someone is being mean to people, they bring out the evil theme for them. In the kayfabe events, if you were just out there doing your thing and they started playing your heel theme and you thought, what the hell are you doing, guys? I'm not a bad guy, I'm just me.
I know. I could see it where, in a week or two, the, someone's walking up to them to start a backstage interview, it cuts in on a conversation of them that's finishing up, where one of them just, says something like, I'm glad we went back to our old theme. It feels a lot better.
They could do, but imagine if it was like that in real life. If you were angry with someone and you had a big falling out with one of your friends, next time you met up, one of you had kind of evil, sinister music playing as you walked into the room, just so everyone looks at you. Yeah, he is the bad guy in this situation. We're supposed to be rooting for that guy. It's a strange concept when people change their music with their alignment. So, how about Emma? She still seems to be on the rise, doesn't she?
They're actually making her look like a pretty credible threat again, which I like. I mean, it's probably just so it'll be more impressive when Asuka murks her, but it means more good matches, so yeah. I'm not gonna dump on it.
Yeah, possibly just fattening her up so that they can throw her into the oven. But at least she's eating, so there's that. Now, speaking of eating, Samoa Joe has probably been doing less eating, safe to say, over the last year or two. He's got himself in pretty good shape, and he's being a bit of a beast on NXT at the moment.
Yeah, him and Tommaso Ciampa had a rather good match to close NXT this week.
Oh, hell yeah. I felt like Joe got possessed by himself from 10 years ago.
Which is what we all hoped would happen when he was motivated again.
Yeah, he looked awesome. Like, this is the guy I want to see fight Finn Balor. This is the guy I want to see move up to the main roster and just wreck house.
Yeah, if we see the Joe that was on his big undefeated streak in TNA and before that, and when he was fighting against Kurt Angle, that Joe in WWE would be amazing. Rather than the Joe of, like, 2011, where he got fat and started hanging people upside down and threatening them with knives and getting kidnapped and that was never referenced again and all that stuff that we don't talk about anymore. And Baron Corbin, there have been observations that he's been improving. Not necessarily from me, but at least one of you made that observation, so if you would like to justify that now.
Well, I mean, so Baron Corbin has, at least in my view, he has been... he has moved away from being, like, the boring, overpushed, you know, Roman Reigns-ish character that he was previously. And he seems to be doing better in the ring. Like, he's been recently pulling out some rather impressive counters to finish people off with the End of Days, both this past week on NXT against Ty Dillinger, and also the most recent takeover against Chad Gable.
Mm. Have any of them looked somewhat impractical, though? Because, you know, like, when they thought the RKO looked cool, and then they thought, well, let's ramp up the cool even more and just have people do all these ridiculous ways of getting themselves caught in it. Do you think the End of Days could go in that
direction? I don't think any of them have been particularly impractical. One thing that that should be noted is that he seems to be able to do that move with either arm.
Huh.
It's good.
Yeah. Hey, until somebody tries to do a shooting star and lands into the End of Days, it's not going to be as stupid as the setups into the RKO. But honestly, yeah, I turned a corner on Baron Corbin probably during his match with Joe in Brooklyn. I've actually started to take a liking to him. I still don't want to see him as champion or anything like that, but I think they realize their mistake in pushing him too hard and trying to make him this beast that he's really not. And so instead, by turning him, like, by playing into that, they've made him a much more effective heel.
Interesting that recognizing over pushing and stopping it is a thing that happens on NXT, but not the main show.
Yeah, but I honestly think he and Apollo Crews, I completely blanked on his name for a second there. I think he and Apollo Crews are going to have a sleeper hit at NXT London. I think they're going to have
next week.
Yes. I think they're going to have a really good match. Probably won't steal the show, but it certainly won't hurt.
I feel like that a show that already has Balor and Joe in the main event, it's going to be hard to steal the show.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really hot crowd as well, because you know that as thirsty as the American public are for NXT, they actually get to see it live sometimes. An international audience watching live NXT televised, that's going to be off the chain, dare I say.
Are you traveling to London to watch to go to this event?
No.
Oh.
If I had the financial means at this time, then I would, but sadly no.
Oh.
Well, that rounds off our talking points, I believe, so unless anyone...
Will you be going to any of the house shows during their UK tour?
Sadly, none of them are in my region.
Oh.
That's a shame.
Yeah, normally they stop for their tours in the Manchester area, but not this time, apparently. I was looking down the tour dates, and they've passed right over it.
Huh.
So that's strange. Especially considering they try to do angles here with local sports teams that fall terribly flat with everyone involved. Anyway, on that note, I believe Mr. Poit, who is already sufficiently lounging, I would say, wearing that incredibly comfortable headband.
Wait. There we go. All right. As ever and always, I would like to do a quick shout-out to our friends who I will be seeing this weekend at the GamerX convention in San Jose. Our friends over at the Game Buoy video game podcast, your stop for left of center gaming news and views. We also invite you to give us your thoughts, such as talking points of your own, and tell us what you thought of the week in wrestling by posting comments on this video, tweeting at us at Tables Ladders, or by replying to our posts on Facebook. We also ask that you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and share our posts, rate us, and subscribe on iTunes, and shop on Amazon.com using our affiliate link. All of these links can be found on our Podbean page, tablesladderspodcast.podbean.com. Additionally, if you would like to see pictures from the weekend featuring glowy unicorn horns, follow me on Twitter at @point_narf.
And before we sign off for the evening, I'm just going to turn this over to our audience quickly because this is an interactive show now, as you know. And Owen Brown has suggested that we're going to see the Samoa Joe that is likely to be crushed by Jern on the main roster.
Yeah, it's as sad as that is, he's probably right. They're gonna do what they did with Kevin Owens, where he's gonna show up, he's gonna look really good, and then Jern will just smash him 3 times in a row.
As sad as that is, it would still be Samoa Joe on WWE TV wrestling against their biggest star.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, take that, you know, take what you can get.
You have to in this business.
Yeah.
I put my Twitter right here.
Oh, cool.
Yes, don't forget to follow Point on Twitter. He is a Twitter maniac. As a social media ambassador, he has to be, you see. So
let's go with that.
On that note, all that remains to be said, TLP, everybody.
TLP, everybody.
TLP,
Unity! Unity!
We're gonna talk about this week in wrestling, cause it was terrible unless it was great. This is Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, it's TLP.